the time remaining, we're going to talk through the last topic that we didn't get to do last time, and that is the within the topic of being more than one-sixth. And Bidlo Mekach, we had dealt with the question of whether the buyer is allowed to claim just the onah, right? We had the machlokas we shown him on this point about whether the buyer is allowed to just say, I want the onah back. Rabbeinu Yonah quoting the Beis Yosef saying no. Ramach apparently saying that you can do it. We talked about what the Rambam believes and the position of the Shulchan Aruch as well and the different ways to read the Rambam as one line or two. We talked about as well, if the buyer agrees to the sale, is it valid retroactively or from now? And the machlok is brought in the rush in Bava Basra, in Hey Yudalid, the Yesh Omrim versus Rabbeinu Yonah, which is going to be important again today, so I'm going to stress it, where the Yesh Omrim says that the sale was valid from the start. In the event that the buyer says, I know I overpaid, I'm good with it, the sale is valid from the start. Rabbeinu Yonah says that the sale is not valid until you forgive the difference. At that point, it becomes valid. Okay, that's a key point that's going to be very relevant to the discussion now. The question we have to talk about is the seller able to back out where the buyer has not opted out, but still could do so? Okay, you reach a stage in which the buyer has the option to back out. Can the seller say, okay, I'd like to back out, I'm not interested in this? And the fundamental question is there a valid transaction at this point? At this moment in time, is there a valid transaction? For those who don't have it in front of them, I actually printed out a couple of copies. For anyone who needs print copies of the Mara Makomos, there you go. So, sorry? I sent it out the other day. It was the same one as from last time, but I resent it anyway. So you should have it. We're at Makor Yud Ches is where you want to be on that. The Tosas V'Yil. So, I quoted last time, I believe, the Drisha, who gives a very good explanation for why the law on this is unclear. The core problem we're dealing with is that, on the one hand, the Gemara in Bava Metzia said, Shneim Choser. In the event that it's more than one-sixth, both of them are able to back out. On the other hand, you have the Gemara in Bava Basra with Rav Chisda, in which he said, in the event that you had an item that was worth five, you sold it for six, and then it went up in value to eight, and the buyer is very happy because now he bought an $8 item for $6. He doesn't want to back out. The seller says, well, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I'd like to back out at this point. So Rav Chisda said, you're out of luck. You're not able to back out. But I don't understand. You said Shnei and Chosrin. They're both able to back out. So we have two resolutions presented by the Drisha. We'll see a third one. But the Drisha had the first resolution that you offer is that Shnei and Chosrin is only if the buyer demands the Ona'a back. When we say both can back out, that's where the buyer has expressed dissatisfaction with the transaction. Or that's what we assume is going on. Until then, the transaction is valid. And so, in Rav Chisda's case, the buyer is very happy. He got an $8 item for $6, and therefore he's not interested in backing out. That's the argument that we'll see from the Rivam in Tosfos shortly, whereas Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. He says, first of all, what are you talking about? The buyer can't demand Onah back if it's really over one-sixth. Then it's either on or off. There's no intermediate, I want you to refund me the difference. Further, he says, that's not the Gemara's language. The Gemara's language is not, if the buyer claims onah, then the seller can back out. The language is shneim chozrin. They can both back out. No ifs, ands, or buts. That's resolution number one. Resolution number two, as presented in the Drisha, is that only as long as the buyer can back out, the seller may back out. Because when the buyer can still walk away, the deal is not yet final. There is no transaction yet. That's the argument of that's the second possibility. So Tosfos presents the question of Bava Metzia versus Bava Basra, but handles it slightly differently, and this is Makor Yud Ches on your sheet. He says, V'ilu yeser ashtushneim chosrin, that's the line in the Gemara. He says, V'im tomar, you might ask, he quotes you Parakasvina, that's Bava Basra, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar lo shaveh hei v'vav, v'hukar v'amar al-tes, he sold him a $5 item for $6, and then it went up to 8, lokeach yochel lachzer bavolomo ocher. Rav Chisda says, no, only the buyer can back out, the seller is not entitled to, because he says, well, you know, it went up in my possession, right? He says, achenami, amay ma'ana yochel lachzer, so he says, I don't understand, then why do you say here, shneim chosrin? Which sounds like the seller is able to walk away. Namele nami hamisana, let the victim say to him, ilav da'oni sani, etc. Right? You tricked me, and that's why this set up the possibility to back out. Only I should have the right to back out. And I keep calling it that the buyer is the ma'ana, the seller is the mit'ana, just for simplicity, but you understand that it can be reversed. Okay, so Tosos offers us two answers for the question. The first answer that's offered is, you misunderstood the case in Bava Basra. The case in Bava Basra wasn't a bitul mekach case at all. Right? It was a $5 item for $6. That's straight ona. That's 1/6.
Exactly.
It's not more than 1/6. So the first answer says, V'yesh lama, you could say, Dahacha, Kevin Shu Yosem Ishis, in our Gemara and Bava Metzia, it's more than 1/6. Havalei Rachok Min HaMekach Yosem Idai, it's too far off from what the price should have been. Ukiilu Machar Klal, it's as though you didn't sell it at all. It's like he sold him, you know, something he called wine, but it actually was vinegar. That's Tosfos' first answer. So within this approach, if Bava Basra had not been a $6 item sold, a $5 item sold for $6, but instead it was a $5 item sold for $7, and then it went up to $8, then Rav Chisda would have said the seller could back out. Even though the buyer is going to say, well, it went up in my possession and it's only because you cheat, doesn't make a difference. That would, according to this approach, that's what should happen. In other words, by default, there is no transaction in a case where it's more than 1/6. And the seller's right to walk away is based on the default lack of a completed transaction. Only once the buyer says, I'm sticking with this item, or, you know, time runs out to walk away, whatever it is, whatever's going to make it a completed transaction, that's when that will change, Adam.
Doesn't it sound like Tosfos is saying this is a method of Tosfos altogether?
Like, you mean by the comparison to Yaman and Psachomet? It really does sound like right. It. What the question is whether he means that philosophically or just in terms of the result. In other words, is he really saying this is a Mekach Tosfos, or is he saying it's just like that case in the sense that it's not a real transaction yet?
But even in the case of Chomets and Yayin, as long as it sounds, if at the end of the day, the guy realizes it's Chomets and he says, okay, fine, but you know what I need for the Chomets, so fine.
Well, not necessarily. You might require a new Kenyan in that case, which no one's requiring here. Yeah. So, all right, I want to make sure to go further here, because I got left with too little time to do this, and I want to at least do this. I don't blame anybody. Everyone's fine for Yom Kippur, but we got to get through this. But that's the first. That's the first approach in Tosfos. The second approach is the Rivam. But Rabbi Yitzchak bar Mordechai tirates the Hasam kishein alokeach toveya ona aso. The Rivam says that over there it's because the buyer is actually demanding the ona. Right. This is the first approach we brought in the drisha. In the case of a 5, 6, 8, he's actually not saying I want to keep the item that I bought for 6 because now it's worth 8. He's saying, I'm sorry, that is the case over there. The case where you can back out, sorry. The case where you're able to, I'm sorry, no, that's the way he words it. The case of the 5, 6, 8 is where the buyer is saying, I'm very happy that I bought it, and I'm not demanding anything from you. I'm not demanding the difference between 5 and 6. So the seller is not able to walk away. But here what we're talking about is where the mit'ane is actually saying, I want my ona back. Which is what licenses the ma'ane to walk away. What he's trying to say is that by default there is a transaction. It's just that the victim has the ability to reverse it. But until the victim tries to reverse it, there's a transaction in place. And therefore the seller has no ability to walk away. And the assumption is, and this is the key assumption, if the buyer says, I want my ona back, he is expressing dissatisfaction with the transaction. You're saying, I am not happy with this transaction. That's the Rivam's position. Rabbeinu Yonah is going to disagree, as we'll see. But the position of the Rivam is, when you claim ona'a, you're saying, I am not happy with this transaction, and that opens up the possibility for the seller to say, good, I'm going to knock out the whole thing. Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees with the Rivam, as we know, but that's the Rivam's position. So
that's a chilek and shtein kol.
Yeah, exactly. The question is it that this was never a transaction and therefore everybody gets to walk away? Or is it that this is a transaction until the buyer exercises his right to stop it from being a transaction? At which point, now the man is able to... That's exactly the point. So there's support for the Rivam's view in the Rishonim. That the default is that there is a valid transaction from the outset, like the Yesh Omrim we saw in the Rosh and Bava Basra last week. The Rif is explained this way. If you take a look at Sur Yates, Amar Rav Chisda, this is the Rif language. Rav Chisda says, "Machar lo shave chamesh b'sheish v'hukru v'amdu al shmona minis ane." Rav Chisda says, if you sold the, it's the 5, 6, 8 case. Who is the victim? The lokeach. The lokeach is able to back out, not the mocher. Why? Because he says, if you hadn't done this to me, you couldn't have backed out. Now that you did, you're going to be able to back out. So the Drisha reads the Rif, and he says, the Rif's language, I'm going to do it outside in the interest of time, but I brought you the Drisha in Source Chaf. He says, the Rif's language is that Rav Chisda's argument of Ilav de Oni son applies where the Mit'anet does not demand the Ona'a back. His case is where the victim didn't say, I want the Ona'a back. That's where the buyer, the seller is out of luck. So that's the way the Drisha reads it. The Rush takes the Rif to mean like the Rivam. He disagrees. He says the Rif agrees with, that's exactly right. That he's like Rivam, but then he presents Rabbeinu Yonah's approach. And he comes back to saying, you know, the Rif could mean like Rabbeinu Yonah. Maybe it is possible. You know, take a look in the middle of because you have to do it inside the middle of the drisha. Vaharash, the second paragraph. Vaharash akasa vahashdalo tzricha haki kiyomar. Kodem sheyadanu perusha de Rabbeinu Yonah. Until we read Rabbeinu Yonah, hayinu muchrachem lomar sharif mefarish krivam. We had to read the Rif like the Rivam. Ubeemes also perush dachuk. But you know what? The Rivam is really hard to read. Because when you say that you can only back out because the guy said, I want my 1/6 back, that doesn't fit the words of Shnei and Chosrin. Right? Dakatani Sama, Shnei and Chosrin, Kmo Shikshu Rabbeinu Yonah. Aval Hashta, Yeshanu Teres Acher Badavar. But now, you know what? We have Rabbeinu Yonah's way to read the Gemara. Ve'esher Litcha Fulamar, the Gemara Rif Tzirul Lake of Aseh, you could force the Rif that way as well. The Drisha is not so impressed with the Rush. The Drisha says, I hate to tell you this, but the simple read of the Rif's language is still like the Rifam. Because he did not stipulate, it seemed very clear. And that also fits, he says, with the Rambam. The Rambam being a Talmud of the Rif, so to speak. The Talmud of Talmud, fine. But the Rambam is going to follow the view of the Rif, and the Rambam is going to limit it to where the buyer demanded Ona'a back. Now that's hard to read within the Rambam, and then we have to come back to that, but that's what he says. The Drisha then hedges on this. But there is support for the position of the Rivam, that by default it's a valid transaction from the outset, until the buyer says it's not. The Ritva takes this view explicitly, and the Ramach quoted the Sheet of Mekubetzes as well. The Gilyan Ashas here says to see Tosfos on Nun Zayin, Yatzal Achulin. I don't know if you had a chance to actually see that Tosos. Tosos, the Gemara Bav Metzia Nun Zayin is talking about whether Hekdesh has a concept of Bitul Mekach. The case is, you tried to do Tumura, not illegal Tumura, proper Tumura. What happened was, there was an animal that was a carbon, it became blemished, so you want to substitute a Baal Mum, you want to substitute a good animal for the Baal Mum. The only thing is that the Baal Mum was worth $1,000, and your Tumura animal, or your pigeon animal, really, is worth $600. So what happens now? Can you get away with that, or do you have to make up the difference? So the Rav Yochanan in the Gemara says that redemption works mid-de-oraisa, mid-de-rabbanan, we want you to pay the other $400, because you know the rule, the house always wins. That's the fundamental rule when you're dealing with pidyon and kachim and all matters related to kachim. The house always wins. That's what Rav Yochanan said, word for word. Reish Lakish says that making up the difference is actually biblically required. But Tosfos says, and I'm not going to do it inside again just because of time, but Tosfos says that within the view of Rav Yochanan, what's going on in the case where I substitute a $600 animal for a $1,000 animal, the entire animal is being redeemed by this $600 redemption. And that's why it works with Yoraisa. According to Reish Lakish, only $600 out of the $1,000 animal has been redeemed. But Tosfos says, we're not going to claim Bitul Mekach. Why don't I say it's more than a six, and therefore the whole thing is no good? You only redeemed 600 out of the 1,000. You should say the whole thing is no good. And his answer is, don't stop me now, I'm sorry, because it's not directly germane for this. He says, the reason why is because when you're dealing with a regular person, Bitul Mekach is automatic. Neither of them wants the deal to go forward. The seller doesn't want to be forced to refund an Ona'a difference. And the buyer is afraid he's going to miss the deadline to claim. So he says that's what happens with normal people. It's all explicitly in the Tosfos. While when you're dealing with Hekdesh, the Beis HaMikdash is never going to lose because there's no time limit. Meaning, whenever you want to use your animal that you've just redeemed, you're going to have to take care of the rest of the $400. So the Beis HaMikdash has, you know, Beis HaMikdash has all the patience in the world. It doesn't make a difference. You can go think you're doing whatever you're doing. Eventually you're going to come back to me anyway. You're going to want to. So the key point that emerges from this is that Tosfos says that the Mekach in a human case, not in a Hekdesh case, is batel automatically. That's the key point. It's batel automatically. That's against, apparently, the Rivam, who said that the transaction is valid by default and the Ma'aneh's power to walk away is only triggered by the Mit'aneh's claim. That's what I think Rabbi Kivayir wants you to see in that Tosfos. I apologize if that's not entirely clear, but I've got 7 minutes to go and too much to say. So Rabbeinu Yonah's stance. I would have skipped it all together, but it's on the page. Rabbeinu Yonah's stance. So Rabbeinu Yonah says the transaction is void until you make it valid. And that's Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shita Mekubetzes, which I brought you in from Bava Basra in Source Chav Gimel. He says the Rivam doesn't fit the language of Shneim Chozrin. Shneim Chozrin means they can back out. It doesn't say the Ma'ana can back out if the Mit'ana made a claim. He says it doesn't make any sense. Rather, he says, the transaction is invalid until it becomes set. Now, the truth is, if you read Chidusha Rabbeinu Simcha on Bava Metzia Pedalad Amad Aleph, the very beginning of his comments there, he seems to say that Rabbeinu Yonah believes that claiming Ona'a shows dissatisfaction with the transaction, which is the opposite of what he seems to be saying. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah seems to be saying that the claiming Ona'a says, I am satisfied with the transaction, I just want to get this dollar back. But I like the transaction, I want the transaction to go forward. He says, no, it's claiming dissatisfaction. I believe what he's doing is he's going with the latter part of Rabbeinu Yonah's statement and its implications. Meaning, I come to you and I say, I want the dollar back. So I could say, which is the way I normally take Rabbeinu Yonah, I could say, that means I want the dollar back, but I would like to keep the item. However, what Rabbeinu Yonah is noting is what happens if I don't get the dollar. Then I want to reverse the whole transaction. So effectively what he's saying is, and this is what I think Rabbeinu Simcha is noting here, is that you're anticipating not getting your way, and therefore you are dissatisfied. That's what I think, if you look in the language of Rabbeinu Simcha, I think that's what he means. In any case, I brought it for you. No, I didn't bring this part of it. You'd have to look on Pei Dalet. It's there. You can get on the Bar Ilan. The Machane Ephraim has two challenges for the position of Rabbeinu Yonah. He says, first of all, when it comes to selling an item that has a mum, the tour says that the seller is only able to back out if the buyer wants to claim the difference in value. Not an Ona'a case, a standard Ona'a case, right? It's in Reish Lamed Beis. The tour says that the seller can only back out if he sold a blemished item if the buyer wants to claim the difference in value. That sounds exactly like what the Rivam is saying. Right? When the buyer makes a claim, then the seller is able to walk away. That's challenge number one. The Kiryas Melech Rav, who is the son of the Machane Ephraim, writing on the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira Yud Beis Dalet, has no problem with this. He says the Torah only presented the case of the buyer claiming the difference because that's what happens in the case of a mum. That's what's going to happen. It's just a normal case. It wasn't to the exclusion of all other cases. As opposed to in our laws of Ona'a, where he presented the desire of the Ma'aneh to back out because he wanted to combat the Rivam's discussion. But the Kiryas Melech Rav says, I'm not buying the Machane Ephraim's objection. The second objection of the Machane Ephraim is the one that's more germane. The Machane Ephraim's second objection is that if the buyer doesn't want out, then the sale is retroactively valid. He forgave it. So claiming the 1/6 says, I want it, I do want the sale, and therefore that makes the sale valid. That's the argument that the Machane Ephraim launches. And I think that's fine for him to say that, but Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees altogether. Rabbeinu Yonah doesn't believe in the retroactive effect. Rabbeinu Yonah believes it becomes effective only now, without a new act of kinyan, but it becomes effective at this point in time. So Rabbeinu Yonah will not be bothered by what the Machane Ephraim is saying. That was explicit in the Rosh in Bava Basra. So to make sure that we're clear on what we've said until now, before we hit the Rambam, what we're saying is this. The fundamental question is there a valid transaction if a buyer has not yet opted out? That's our question. Based on the fact that we say Shneim Chozrin, it sounds like there is not a valid transaction. But on the other hand, you have this Rechista thing in Bava Basra. So two fundamental approaches, aside from the, well, two fundamental approaches that we'll work with. Number one approach is that you can only back out if the buyer expresses dissatisfaction. The default is that the transaction is valid until that moment in time. And that's one perspective. And that's going to be Rivam's perspective. The second approach that we're working with is Rabbeinu Yonah, and Rabbeinu Yonah says that's not the way to look at it, but actually the transaction that we're looking at is invalid until the buyer demonstrates that he's satisfied with the transaction. That's when it is accepted, and that's his shita. What does the Rambam believe? So we come back to this Rambam that we've seen so many times, which I reprinted for you on the page in Chav. He says, "Haisa ha'onaya yisera shtus b'cholshu." If the onah is more than a sixth, such as the case where it was 60 sold for a, it was a $49 item sold for 60, but omegach, and the mit'aneh is able to back out and not acquire it, but the ma'aneh is not able to back out if the mit'aneh wants the deal, and even though it is batel, the ma'aneh doesn't need to restore the onah unless it is more than a pruta. That's the Rambam. I'm reading the Rambam as a single statement. He says if it's more than a sixth, batel, victim can return, can back out. The seller can't recant. And even though batel, the ma'ana only has to return it, which we assume is the onah, if the onah is more than a pruta. So assuming I read the Rambam as one unified statement, then what does the second half of his statement mean? What do you mean about returning it? We just said the buyer is able to back out, is able to walk away. What are you returning? So the Kiryas Melech Rav offers you two approaches, one satisfying Rabbeinu Yonah, one satisfying the Rivam. He says you could satisfy Rabbeinu Yonah if you read the Rambam to say, if the Mit'aneh wants to keep the object, then the Me'aneh is stuck, and even if the Mit'aneh demands the overcharge alone. And then he says, but returning it would only be an obligation and so forth. And the way to read it according to the Rivam, if the Mit'aneh wants to keep the object, the Ma'aneh is stuck unless the Mit'aneh... Sorry. Right, yeah, I'm rushing that part. I'm not going to do it because it's not going to work right. I'm going to skip the Kiryas Melech Rav justifying the ways to read the Rambam as an atomic line. But many believe that the Rambam is siding with the Rivam, saying that the seller is able to back out if the buyer demands onah. Even if the buyer just demands onah, he's still able, at that point, the seller is allowed to back out. The Magen Mishnah reads the Rambam in this way. If you take a look at Chav Zayin, V'efshu shadas ha-machaber k'das k'sas ha-rishonim sh'amr sh'ein ha-ma'ana yochol lachzer bo ela kasham mis'anet hoveya ha-onah v'zeh v'bitul mekach. That's what he says. That's how he reads the Rambam, because he's reading the Rambam as one line. So when it says, "Mitana yochalach zechivitz v'yikne klal," aval hamaana also eni yochalach zerim rata zevikibel. Rata zevikibel does not include where he demands onah. However, Chiddush Rabbeinu Simcha says no. The Rambam is siding with Rabbeinu Yonah. Why? The Rambam did not link it to the buyer claiming onah, only to whenever the transaction becomes final. The Rambam didn't say he demanded onah. The Rambam's language was rata zevikibel. That was all that the Rambam said. And that's all that matters. That's the way to read the Rambam. I believe that he's reading the Rambam as I noted the Shulchan Aruch seems to read it, which is to say as two separate statements. In other words, don't be distracted by the second half discussion about onah. It isn't related to the first half. The first half statement is, once the guy wants it, once the victim wants it, everything is done. That's it. Case closed. There's no discussion about claiming onah, not claiming onah. It isn't part of the conversation, because he's siding with Rabbeinu Yonah. And the second statement is a separate halacha. And the proof that this is the way the Shulchan Aruch reads it is, first of all, as I noted last time, the language in the Shulchan Aruch divides it up in Reish Chav Zayin into Halacha Gimel and Halacha Dalet. But also, look at what he says in Reish Chav Zayin Dalet. I brought it for you earlier. It's in Chavtes. Did I bring it on there? Okay, great. There it is. Haisa ona yisera shtus kol shu kigon shemachar shabbat shishim b'chamishim pachas pruta. Right, you sold the 49 for 60. Bata mekach hamisana yochal lahachzer hachefetz v'lo yikne klal. No mention whatsoever about where there's a claim of onah. The straight read of the Shulchan Aruch, I think, agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah, and agrees with the Rambam insofar as the Chiddush Rabbeinu Meir Simcha reads the Rambam. So you have this debate as how to read the Rambam. When the Rambam says, essentially, the debate is, what does he mean when he says, Stavar V'Kibel, that he accepted it? Does that include where he claimed the 1/6, or does it not include where he claimed the 1/6? You try to bring proof from the second half of his line, but the second half of his line may not actually be proof at all. Clear? All right, that was way too rushed, but I hope...
If Shneim Chuzrim doesn't really...
It doesn't prove anything to the people who really don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
That's essentially right. I would have read Shneim Chuzrim and said, beginning, middle, end. But those who are just adamantly against them, that understanding of the transaction will say, no, Shneim Chuzrim doesn't mean what you think it means.
Okay.
Shkoyach.